podcast where we talk about the ghosts of the past and look to the spirit of the future. Hi, Jessica.
Hey, Hannah.
How are you doing?
It's a great day to be great.
It's a great day to be great. I love this.
Halfway through the week.
Halfway through the week, we record on a Wednesday. It's all downhill from here. You doing okay over there? Jessica.
Hannah, what are you drinking this week?
What face? Jessica, what are you drinking this week? You good?
Yeah. I'm a big fan of wandering the food aisles at World Market.
Okay.
Just to buy the vibes.
You know, I love it's a very welcoming place. Mm-hmm. You go in and it's like World Market shows you.
What you need.
What you need. It shows you. It reveals itself to you. What did World Market reveal to you that caused you to make that face?
Oh, it wasn't World Market's fault. What's in it is I bought a fancy bottle of French strawberry basil soda.
So fun.
And the first one of these I had, I did not measure the gin with my heart and forgot. So that gin in the nose.
It's a gin forward, shall we say.
Yeah. I mean, Empress, you're doing great. I maybe should have remembered how
it's
I mixed
so
this.
Pretty. But I think you're going to be like emotionally ready for your next sip.
That's true. It was the bubbles. It was the gin. It was the whole.
There was a lot happening in your mouth.
Yeah. What are you drinking?
I am drinking the Woodford. I said Woodward, like the president. Woodford Reserve. And you bought it recently, Jessica.
Who?
What? What did I say? Woodford Reserve.
What president?
Woodward. There was a president named Woodward. There was.
You mean Woodrow Wilson?
Was his name Woodrow? What a silly name. Woodrow. What? His name was Woodrow. I don't know how that's better than Woodward.
You said it with your chest, too.
So. I'm not a real historian. I'm just digging around. Woodrow.
What you drinking, Anne?
I'm drinking your Woodford Reserve. It is a special edition.
It is. I recently had to spend some time in Louisville, so I took myself down to Churchill Downs.
She's kicking it.
I can't wait to make that meme.
Woodrow Wilson. I'm sorry. I'm interrupting your Kentucky store. I'm crying. Anyway.
Maybe just one for you.
Do share about your Woodford Reserve purchase.
I had to be in Louisville for some work things. The weekend of the Kentucky Derby.
Yes, the hats.
I didn't know that at the time.
Were you shocked?
Yeah, because I guess I expected like Louisville to be like busier.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. You know, like there's a big event. I expect more traffic, you know?
Oh, that makes sense. I wonder when all that happens.
But this year is 150 years of the Kentucky Derby.
Oh, I didn't even realize that's a big one.
And so on my way out, I went to Churchill Downs to get the Kentucky Derby anniversary Woodford Reserve.
Well, how fun. I didn't know you actually went to Churchill Downs for that.
Oh. It was a mistake.
Did you have to walk? Did you have to park so far away?
So far away.
Oh.
In the rain, which it's fine. I had an umbrella, but it was a trek.
Jessica, knowing what you went through to get this bottle makes me so great. I'm so grateful to be drinking this right now.
Well, I parked at Churchill Downs and then walked down to the Derby Museum.
That's so fun.
Which, as a museum professional, it's not great.
No, don't recommend that for a museum experience.
If you want to learn, you're not going to get it there.
No, don't go there if you want to learn something.
But I figure if I'm going to buy an anniversary bottle, go to the home site.
Yeah, you got to get it from there. Well, that makes me very grateful. It just tastes regular.
Yeah, the bottle's just cute.
Yeah, yeah. I don't recognize the spirit of Thundering Horses in here, but it's just like a Woodford. Mm-hmm. Here's to you, Woodrow.
Somebody else has one out there, too, right now. Another whiskey. I can't remember off the top of my head.
You know, I respect that you keep up with all these things, because I just, much like you go to World Market, I just go into the package store. And I just
like
wait.
A package store.
I just wait to see what happens. it brings itself to me. But I'm like a tequila girl in the summer.
Yeah.
And recently, like a summery gin girl, because I had one of your Empress ones. I think mine was lighter on the gin. Delicious. And so I'm a clear liquor girly in the summer. Mm-hmm. But I like hanging on to my fall roots, I guess, with the whiskey. That's what we needed. But we were supposed to have margaritas tonight, Jessica.
That's true.
What happened?
I fucked up.
Did you? What happened? Because I brought what I would call a jug.
Yeah, tequila. I would describe it that way.
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, Mr. Darlin on Andy Griffiths is thinking something he would sling over his shoulder and, like, play with his band. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Is that too niche?
No. Mm. It's, a fifth.
Yeah, Mr. Darlin one. Anyway, what happened to the margarita plans?
Oh, well, Hannah was going to bring stuff to make us margaritas.
Margaritas.
Maybe it's a good thing we didn't make margaritas because I can't even say it right.
I mean, we barely had any sips.
Hannah brought things to make margaritas. And I was like, I have strawberry rhubarb margarita mix. It'll mm-hmm. be so tasty. And then we found out it was growing a friend.
Yes. I asked, I think, in a quote, did a worm get in here? But it turns out, after I Googled Walker's margarita mix grows a worm or something along those lines, expecting to see that if Walker's margarita mix was indeed
tequila based,
you know, tequila based or nefarious
yeah.
of some sorts, mm-hmm. We would probably see many other instances of growing worms.
True. We saw none. It turns out you have to refrigerate it when you mm-hmm. open it, and that's not clearly on the label.
No, I would call it in the fine print.
I'm not accusing them.
No, not accusing them.
Walker's, you're great.
So good. And I would say, dare I say, common sense that you would put in the fridge. Would I have done it? Probably not. No.
No, I think people that use margarita mix more would know to put it yeah. in the fridge.
Because also, in the summertime, because it was a little bottle. That's something I would probably go through in one go. Because I usually, like, if there's someone at the house, we're having a yard sit, we're drinking quite a few margaritas. Because me and my twin sister really love to drink margaritas. And we'll text the other one. And we'll say, do you want to have a yard sit? No, do you... yard mark. Let's come over for a yard mark. And sometimes that means sit in the yard on blankets, drinking yard marks. But sometimes it means drinking margaritas while doing yard work.
It's the only way to get through it, honestly.
And so you never know what you're doing until you arrive.
There's truly nothing I hate more in this world than yard work.
See, so. I actually don't mind it.
Can't.
I really like the part where I finish the yard work and then I walk around admiring my yard work. And sometimes I make my husband walk around with me. And I point out all the wonderful things I've done and wait for him to praise me.
Have you ever seen the video of the woman who makes her husband look at her new nails every 3 weeks and he fakes surprise?
So wholesome. I love that.
He, I don't know what they're building. I don't follow that account. I just see him every so often. She comes out, like, her hands in the video, but are in a fist. And she, like, goes around the house to find him, like a POV. And he comes out of, like, some kind of construction they're doing in their house. And he goes, oh, is it time again? And she goes, fwing, like she's Wolverine.
With her new nails.
And this year, and the one I saw today was, oh, they're purple, like you said they would be. Oh, that one's not as purple. Oh, it's got flowers. That's nice.
See? That's so wholesome. This is what I need. I need Jamie to count the weeds I've cut down, really.
He doesn't have enough going on.
Not enough. Count them before and after, my love.
Well, the Kentucky Derby's had 150 years.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been a big couple of years for anniversaries.
Oh, has been.
The 60th anniversary of the Birmingham campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Talked about that in the Wales Window episode.
Oh, yeah. We do.
We had, just this past year, arguably the most important anniversary of them all.
Jessica, what could it be?
The 50 years of hip-hop.
About
to be 51.
About to be 51. But it was a big year. There's much hip-hop mm-hmm. going around in our friendship, to be honest.
Yeah. I've thrust it upon you. You have. You asked for it.
Yes. I'm not pop culture as aware of you.
No, you're not.
At all. So it would be for really all music types that I have missed out on. But you have educated me. 50 years of hip hop.
50 years of hip hop. On that, things have occurred since our last episode.
Mm.
And I asked you your favorite history beef.
Oh, yes.
And I told you all about Kendrick Lamar versus everybody.
Oh, yes. I remember this now.
It has continued.
Oh, I thought about that. I saw this the other day. Do tell.
So, J. Cole responded?
Oh, no. What?
It was a very, like...
How was it?
J. Cole response of, like, he's a conscious rapper. He's not a battle rapper.
Mm.
But then he apologized.
What? Why?
Because he got heat in the comments.
That's not the rapper way.
No. And then Future dropped the album, which the song is not on, that started this whole thing.
It's not even on there?
No. And J. Cole's on the album.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so that, we were like,
what's going on there?
And then there's like, Drake might have responded.
I did see that. It was very ambiguous.
It was ambiguous. People are also feeling sure it's AI.
Oh. I could see that.
It's not even ghostwriting. It's just AI.
Oh, I could see that. Because, well, I have to be honest. AI is the last thing that ever occurs to me. Yep. So whenever I see something written and then somebody's like, oh, that's AI. I'm like, what?
Uh-huh.
But now it does make sense.
Yeah. I think Drake is arguably one of the funniest human beings on this planet.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So... after taking all that heat from Kendrick Lamar, he came back with, you wear a size 7 shoe. That's comedy. That's pure comedy.
So funny. He says that.
That's all you got? That's all you could come up with? What? He was like, Metro Boomin, go make your drums, and Kendrick, you're little. Like, Kendrick, that's all chat could come up with.
Your silly, tiny feet.
So we'll see.
So we'll see.
What happens with the big three?
Mm. Well, maybe we'll have more updates.
The big three, according to somebody. Apparently, it's not Kendrick. I love
that. There are no Queer Eye updates, except that there's been lots of the pictures of the Fab Five with replacement Bobby. I've been seeing them on the Instagram.
Is he replacement Bobby? It's not just...
Yeah, he's new Bobby.
Jonathan's husband?
What? What?
It's not Jonathan's husband?
I thought it was replacement Bobby.
I don't know.
They all look the same, but I think it's replacement Bobby. Is it Jonathan's husband?
I am conflating pictures. I think I have seen Jonathan's husband amongst them.
But it could be Jonathan's husband. Mm-hmm. I could be wrong. So I'm going to go check on that.
And actually, circle back next week.
I'm going to go back there. Circle back next week. Is your replacement Poppy or Jonathan's husband? Because I think the food one, he and his husband, I think are getting a divorce.
Anthony.
Thank you. The food one.
The food one.
Woodward and the food one. I'm doing so well today. Just killing you in the name. 50 years of hip-hop.
50 Jessica. Years of hip-hop. What we deserved was Andre 3000, a.k.a. Three Stacks.
Three Stacks.
Should have given us a hip-hop album.
Oh, we're back to this.
Andre, who is on the cover of The Bitter Southerner for Spring and Summer. It's a really beautiful photography.
Actually, it really is. It's a beautiful issue.
Yeah. Highly recommend. Get you a copy. Support The Bitter Southerner.
We love them.
Make good trouble.
This is not to hate The Bitter Southerner or Walker's Margarita Mix.
No.
But we do have a problem.
One thing I am Andre. Is a Bitter Southerner stan.
Mm.
And I will continue to buy Walker's. It's not their fault.
100%.
I got beef with Andre 3000.
Mm. What'd he do? What'd he do, Jessica?
He is maybe the top three lyricists in hip-hop. And he gave us flutes.
Mm. He did.
So, just flutes.
He did. I
For what?
I actually don't really remember it. I just remember you. I don't know what's...
The Raging for days?
Yeah. What's the hearing equivalent of force feeding?
It's me talking about Andre 3000's flute album.
And then playing me his flautist song.
Mm-hmm. No, don't get me wrong. They're good.
Oh, he's terrific
flautist. It's not what I asked for.
No. And honestly, it was too much and it was too long.
Yeah, they're all like 17 minutes long.
I mean, we were 90 seconds in and I was pretty done. Also, I want you to know that's the first conscious, like, the what I've known wasn't, like, I've heard Andre 3000 songs before.
Outkast.
Thank you. Yes. But I did not know I was hearing Andre 3000. But that's
the
first
identity's
time
kinda
I
lost.
Knew I was hearing. Yeah. And that was my introduction to
now,
Andre 3000.
To find a light in the darkness.
I'm ready.
I don't know if it's on Apple Music, but on Spotify, he made a playlist. Andre likes flutes. Well, which if you didn't know, secret's out.
I mean, that's not an instrument I would have thought to be a fan of.
No.
But I'm glad that he's found
a
source of joy.
But that playlist is really great.
Oh.
Because it includes other flutists.
Flautist?
Flautists.
Flautist. Yes.
Did you make that up?
No, I'm really dead serious. I'm totally dead serious. It is a flautist. I was going to say someone back me up. There's no one else in this room. It is a flautist. I swear.
Okay.
I just can see
how
you're
though?
Doubting me after the Woodward
no, but
fiasco.
How, though?
It's a flautist.
How?
It is.
But how, though?
But, I mean, why are goose geese, but moose aren't meese? You know? English.
Okay. Andre 3000 made a playlist, at least on Spotify, featuring other, if we use the logic, geeses. Of, like, his influences and the artists that he enjoys. And it's
His journey.
A much more robust
compilation. Oh, okay, I can see this.
I really like to use it when I have to either answer emails in the morning or as a little meditation. It's actually very varied and very nice. He kind of made up for it.
I could see that. So his playlist made up for his...
lack of playlist.
Oh, so sad. So we have beef.
We do. But also on the internet, as I follow maybe the big three, Kendrick doesn't believe it.
Mm.
And Andre gave us flutes. The Bitter Southerner issue, I think it came out last week.
Mm.
But I get it in the mail. So
yeah,
I got it today.
It takes a few minutes.
Yeah. What I'm also late to the party on most occasion is internet trends.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Tell us why.
I'm not on TikTok.
Not on TikTok.
As a scroller or a user.
Mm. I'm a TikTok scroller. Mm-hmm. Soon to be a TikTok user.
Okay.
For paint. For this podcast.
Oh.
For us. You and I.
Thought you were just like trying to incorporate that into the daily grind.
Oh,
What I'm going to do is content create.
I'm going to promote my own TikTok account on the spot. No, it's our page. It's going to be our page.
I don't know.
Probably very soon.
Okay.
But what was I saying?
You were a scroller.
Oh, I'm a scroller. But normally, yes. I'm just validating that I ask you about a TikTok sound. And then a month later.
Yeah. It's getting better.
It is.
I feel like the transfer
fast.
Is faster.
Yeah,
happening.
It's getting faster than it used to be. But there's a delay.
There is. I'm also an elder millennial.
Yes.
And I'm late to most trends anyway.
Yeah.
Even though, arguably, we set all the fashion trends that are now popular again.
Yeah.
I've seen people layering tank tops.
Mm-hmm.
And wearing boat shoes.
Yep. I've seen the, you know, starting to be some, you know, I just can't. I can't mention. I can't speak in the beat.
We can't go back.
Been seeing some Bermuda shorts.
You know,
they're not called that anymore.
Someone of the thick thigh community.
Mm.
I appreciate a Bermuda short with a cuff.
I can see that.
I need the inseam. I'm also a giant.
I was going to say, because you're like, what, 5'10"?
Mm-hmm.
And I am...
Not.
Not. No. I'm nearly a foot shorter than 5'10". Let me tell you what I look like in Bermuda shorts. That is a dump. Like a dorky dump. I'm an ass out booty short girly.
Have you seen that meme? I think I've sent this to you. It's Monsters, Inc. of what podcast hosts look like.
Yes! We will find this meme.
It's Sully and Mike, that's what we look like. We look like the number 10.
Oh my god. So, 50 years of hip-hop.
And
what brings us to Victorian children?
Well, the big and it comes in waves. The big trend for a long time was things that would kill a Victorian child.
Yes, I do remember this.
And everybody's responses have been kind of within their niche. Mm-hmm. They call them romance novels on BookTok, but I need y'all to know that's just porn.
Mm-hmm. That's just what? What do you call it, romance?
Someone who had to know what happened in the plot of Unhinged, it's just porn. Yes.
That's all right. Sometimes we get it different ways.
Yeah, I would just like, you know, once it comes over to the old people's Instagram, I would like to have a little variation in my BookTok reviews.
But you can see that.
That's a rant for another time.
Mm-hmm. I feel this.
Maybe I shouldn't call them niche. Everybody's kind of like interest changes the response to things that would kill a Victorian child.
Or like, you know, area of expertise.
Yeah.
You know, background. Mm-hmm. So like a scientist.
We'll probably take it maybe a little more literally. People who like do chemical engineering took it in a whole other way. Mm-hmm. The BookTok ladies took it in way left.
Yeah. You know, like, I think the union reps would go after the child labor situation. Uh-huh. You know, everybody's going to have a different take on what would kill a Victorian child.
You know what would take them right out? Rap music.
Rap music. Shock them to death.
Yeah. But what I thought would be fun for our now 51 years of hip hop is to break that down.
Mm, I'm ready.
Like the mitochondria of the cell. Hip hop is going to be the powerhouse of this Victorian child.
This is your niche.
This is my niche.
This is what you know. Let's do it. This is not what I know, so let's learn.
You're in for a journey, Hannah. Soon as we come back. All right, Hannah. I'm not going to ask you to name rap albums.
Okay, thank you.
No.
You know I can't.
You can't.
You
know. I am going to preface this, though. This is a thematic exploration.
Okay.
For as long as there was a Victorian era, I have picked my five albums.
Okay. How long was there a Victorian era?
I would argue 1880 to 1910.
Okay. I believe you. Once so 30 years.
Once the skirts start getting a little shorter, the Victorian era is out.
I could see that.
Maybe a little bit more, a little bit less, depending on what part of the world.
Mm, okay.
So I've picked five.
Five.
We're going to go for the one for each decade of hip-hop.
I'm ready. And I'm so excited.
All right. Things that would kill a Victorian child. Hannah, guess one. Before you do that, can I tell you my favorite Victorian era slang?
Oh, yes.
The morbs. Getting the morbs.
What is that?
You're just sad.
Getting the morbs. Oh, because of morbid. they're just like us, the Victorians. I call it the depressies now.
Yep. Having the morbs.
Getting the morbs. I'm going to bring that back. Although I'm
single-handedly.
I'm too old to make a trend. I'm millennial. I was going to say epidemics, but I think that might be your answer. So my answer is now industry.
Okay. Well, you read the first time. I would argue to some groups of people, rap music was an epidemic.
Mm-hmm.
It pops up very quickly. It spreads very fast.
Yeah. I mean, it became what it is in 50 years.
Mm-hmm. So, our first album is Christmas Rappin'.
Christmas Rappin'?
By Curtis Blow.
Is it all Christmas songs? Obviously.
What? No. But it comes out kind of like around the holidays. So, this is the song in particular off the album. But it is...
So it's not all Christmas songs?
No.
What? But it's called Christmas Rappin'.
Yeah, Christmas Rappin'.
So, we just rappin' during Christmas time.
Rappin'. Rappin'.
Okay, Rappin'. He's just rapping during Christmas time.
About Christmas.
Okay. Oh, so he is rapping about Christmas.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you see the play on words from Curtis Blow.
Okay.
Christmas rapping. Christmas rapping.
Christmas rapping. And he's rapping around Christmas time.
Yeah.
But about Christmas.
Uh-huh.
So they are all Christmas songs.
No.
What?
Just this one.
Okay.
So he's born in 1959 in Harlem. And then by the early 1970s, he's DJing. As Cool DJ Kurt.
Cool DJ Kurt.
Which, thank God he changed that.
I don't think that would have stuck. Oh. I don't see him flying to stardom on that.
Right into dust. a little while later, he becomes Curtis Skywalker.
Because of Star Wars.
Because it's the 70s.
Because of Star Wars.
And then that evolves into Curtis Blow.
Curtis Blow.
Because I think it's a political statement.
Ooh.
Because Nancy Reagan was like, there's a war on drugs. And then she planted a bunch of drugs. And then he became Curtis Blow.
I could see that. I hope that
most people would accuse Ronald of that, but we all know she ran the White House. So
she did. She was the boss. I would love that. And that'd be a very like rapper moment Mm-hmm. To call yourself
the thing they hate.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
So by 20, so this is 79, he's signed by a major label. First rapper to do it. He signed to Mercury Records, and they released Christmas Rappin' after it was rejected by 20 other labels.
He's a story of persistence. Curtis Blow.
But I kind of think, too, I think he workshopped it a little bit with different labels, because he wasn't caught up on, like, the first person to get a deal. He wanted to know what the return on investment was going to be. He's worried about the money. And he's not, like, super invested in fame. He just wants to get his music out.
Oh, I love that, Curtis.
Yeah. It's actually a retelling of The Night Before Christmas.
So fun.
And there's a big nod to b-boy culture, disco, DJs, all the things that are blending at the same time. That all kind of plays off each other.
Oh.
So it's 400,000 copies.
That seems like a lot.
Yeah. Especially for 79 in a brand new genre. He's doing pretty good.
And like a brand new artist.
Yeah. And it appears on not a Christmas album. It is his first album, which is self-titled. Curtis Blow.
Curtis Blow. At least he didn't go with Cool DJ.
Yeah. And it's up against The Breaks. You know the song The Breaks?
No, I don't know the song The Breaks.
Okay, well, there's a Donald Glover, aka Childish Gambino. Comedy special. He talks about people always coming for hip hop, but music in the 70s. Like, I went to the hat store and I bought myself a hat. Ha 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 ha. These are The Breaks.
Yeah. So, the same kind of, yeah.
And his album goes gold. Oh. For a first album. He's doing pretty good. Oh. He's blazing a trail.
I'm so happy for Curtis.
He goes on to sell, like, a bazillion records. He's so popular.
Happy for him.
Yeah. Album after album is really, really successful. And then, right in the midst, he decides to go back to college. He wants to get a degree.
Oh, what's he get a degree in?
It's the plan all along. He wants to become a minister.
Oh, that's surprising. That's surprising to me.
Yeah. And he does it.
Oh.
Like, all of his record sales have always gone to, like, I want to put myself through college.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Curtis.
Yeah. He is still a minister.
Really?
Mm-hmm. He became a minister in 1994.
What?
Mm-hmm.
And does he make albums still?
I don't think so.
Oh.
I think he's in his mentor era.
I feel that. I understand.
He's also, like, really heavily involved. There's a hip hop museum that's opening in a building that, like, the place where hip hop started. Mm-hmm. I think he's really dedicated his time to doing a really incredible hip hop museum.
Yeah. Okay.
In Harlem.
I love that for him.
But he gets asked a lot about the minister thing, which is fair because
that's
Reverend Curtis Blow.
Is his name still Curtis?
I don't. Well, his real name is Curtis. It's just. The last name has changed.
It's not Blow, so it doesn't go by Curtis Blow anymore.
But God, do I hope he does.
I would love it if that was his minister name.
In an interview, he said, quote, I thank God that I can rap my songs in church. Not many rappers can say that. I've made over 200 rap songs by myself and never used profanity. You can have a rap career, a rap legacy, and not offend people.
Hmm.
And for a guy whose last name is Blow.
That's true. Very, very wholesome.
Yeah, he's very family friendly.
I love that.
Christmas rapping.
Well, I like that.
Uh-huh. So, epidemics could kill a Victorian child.
And the epidemic of hip-hop.
Yeah. What's our second thing that could kill a Victorian child, if you were going to guess?
Well, I already said industry. Is that one of them?
No.
Malnourishment?
No.
Oh. How long do I have to keep guessing?
You don't.
Okay.
Sick of this shit.
I'm getting increasingly stressed. I might getting the wrong answer. What's the answer, Jessica?
Intellectual property rights. Let me tell you why. In the Victorian era, copyright is upon us. It's not all free game anymore. Copyright office starts to open.
Mm-hmm.
Right around the early rumblings of what became the copyright beginning. Office.
The foundation of copyright.
That brings us to our next album. He's the DJ. I'm the rapper.
He's the DJ. I'm the rapper. By who?
DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince.
Jazzy Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
The youths would know him as Will Smith.
Yeah. Yeah. But who was Jazzy Jeff?
So, in the trajectory of the duo, And I took a lot of that research from Will Smith's memoir. Will.
Will. Original.
Yeah. Jeff was already like an incredible DJ. Very well known in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
And he like picked up this other kid.
Who was Will?
Yeah. Smith. Because he needed a hype man for a party and that guy bailed. Oh. And so Will had been walking around high school doing his thing. So they were like, you need Will Smith. And then like the rest was history for them. Became like the dynamic duo of hip hop.
Ooh, fun.
Little backstory on intellectual property. The copyright, quote unquote, office came in 1911, as we would know it. Copyright, interestingly.
Is it interesting?
Is lifetime plus 50 years.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Lifetime and 50 years. Yeah. So you die.
And then 50 years.
50 more years.
Nobody claims that copyright.
Seems fair.
Yeah. The earliest copyright law comes from the U.S. Constitution in 1787. And that's just putting like a big wedge between the U.S. and England. There's no other reason.
Oh.
Like, don't take our stuff.
I mean.
We dumped your tea in the harbor after we took it, but like, don't take our stuff.
Don't. You're done. We're done with you.
Mm-hmm.
As long, well, we're done with you doing stuff with for, against us.
Yeah. The obvious and glaring problem with copyright is that it there is no equal treatment across for it's protecting white voices largely more than it protects anybody else.
Mm-hmm. Ops.
South Africa, interestingly, has been back and forth about copyright law since the U.S. office opened in 1911. Oh. And they famously can't do anything right.
Oh.
So you think they could do one thing.
But they can't get the copyrights right.
Can't get it down.
I mean, that's been like 113 years.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Well, that's a big struggle.
So 198 years after the Constitution comes into play, the world gets introduced to Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince.
Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince. I love this.
Which this will come to make sense.
Okay.
They put out an album called Home Base.
Okay.
And it's got their most favorite song in the 90s, Summertime. Mm. I feel like you've heard it.
Probably. If you think I've heard it and you know how pop culturally unaware I am of things that happened in the 90s, then I probably heard it.
It's a very famous one. You would probably know it if you heard it. You just probably wouldn't know the others.
What I'm going to do is listen to it on the way home.
Well, lucky for you, I'm going to build all of our listeners a playlist on Spotify.
Gasp. Yes.
For all of these.
Lucky for me and our listeners.
He's the DJ, I'm the Rapper is their first album. Okay. Home Base comes a little bit later. Summertime, there's the radio edit. And then on Home Base, there is DJ Jazzy Jeff's remix. And somebody, who shall remain unnamed, had the nerve to try to tell me that the remix isn't real.
Who told you that?
You know who told me that. Yeah.
I know who does. Gasp.
Yeah. The nerve.
I cannot believe that he thought that he might.
He's like, this isn't the original version. I'm like, yeah, it's the remix. He's like, that's not real. I'm like, okay, I'm going to call Jazz and tell him.
Did he defy your hip hop knowledge?
Yeah.
I cannot even believe.
Like we weren't listening to it. Like I just made it up.
Like the proof is here.
Yeah. So like I said, Jeff meets Will at a house party. He steps in after the hype man goes missing. And then they become BFFs for life.
Was it for life, though?
Yeah. They're still.
Oh, yeah. Yay.
Yeah, they still do shows and stuff. For a while, it was Jeff, Will, and Will's kind of partner in crime, Reddy Roxy.
Who?
Reddy Roxy.
Reddy Roxy.
Mm-hmm.
Reddy Roxy.
Yeah.
I got it.
Reddy Rock's a really incredible beatboxer, which works really well in the 80s because it's popular.
Yeah. So you got the trifecta, like a rapper, a DJ, and a beatboxer.
Mm-hmm. And their first record in 1986 is Girls Ain't Nothing But Trouble.
Mm.
And that's with Word Up Records.
Fair.
That's the same record label that does Word Up Magazine. Run DMC's all over that cover. Like all the big artists go to Word Up.
Okay.
Their first album released with Word Up in 1986. And then they moved to Jive in 1987. And then they go on tour with Run DMC and Public Enemy, who were like the biggest groups in the game at that time. Like you couldn't go any without Run DMC or Public Enemy.
Okay.
Flava Flav. Flava Flav. Yeah. Who also, thanks Flav, created TV dating shows.
Really?
Yeah, he had Flavor of Love, Flavor of Two, Flavor of Three, Strange Love with Bridget Nielsen. And then we got Rock of Love, 1, 2, and 3 with Brett Michaels from Poison.
Brett Michaels? You know what? So he is the originator of all my favorite shows. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love this.
Yep. That's how we got Celeb Reality on VH1.
Oh, mm-hmm. We're so grateful.
A lasting legacy. In 1988, they go multi-platinum with He's the DJ, I'm the Rapper. Mm-hmm. It's their first big takeoff album. It's the first double vinyl LP in hip hop. So they're breaking a lot of firsts. It's also the first rap Grammy.
Mm.
They boycott the Grammys.
Oh, why they boycott?
Because they wouldn't put the award on TV. They just wanted them to perform.
How dare they?
And they were like, isn't... we're not.
No.
We're not your entertainment. We're out.
Good for them.
Yeah. This also, there's a combination of things happening for Will Smith. Like, he's becoming really well known because of his music. The, really like a powerful choice to boycott the Grammys when you win. Mm-hmm. Hadn't been done before. So he's in the spotlight. And he, long story short, kind of gets handpicked to do the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah.
They write the show for him.
Well, it's Fresh Prince.
Yeah. I mean.
It's in the name.
But I think they wrote the title around him.
Yeah.
Ready Rock C, also at this time, bails.
He bails on the group.
So there's this come up of Will and Jazz, and Ready Rock C's like, I'm outie. Because he's not getting the same airtime. They're not really using him anymore. I don't know if they're ever going to admit it or not, but I think they maybe just didn't know how to tell him he's just a beatboxer.
Yeah, that's hard. That's hard. And they were young. It's hard to just say
stuff. Yeah, but it's also like I would feel constantly not good enough when Jazzy Jeff is remixing like the Bewitched theme song and getting platinum records for it.
Yeah. That's hard. It's hard. Beatboxing in the corner.
Yeah. Another big song off that album is Nightmare on My Street. Mm-hmm. You know me in a horror movie.
Yeah.
There's like 150 Nightmare on Elm Streets by 1989. They just spit like 2 a year out, it feels like. Nightmare on Elm Street 4 is supposed to come out a few months after the song is released. And producers had kind of gone back and forth with Jazz and Will about doing the song. They decide they're not going to take the song, so they publish it as their own.
Are the Elm Street people mad?
Yeah, New Line Cinema had approached them to do it. I think they approached them actually to do House Party. Mm. And they were like, we're not Kid and Play. We're not doing that.
Yeah.
We're not actors. Except that Will is literally very successful actor.
Yeah, doing great.
New Line hired the Fat Boys for an official track, Are You Ready for Freddy?
Mm-hmm.
Which plays in the credits. It's absolute dog shit.
Oh, so it's not good?
No.
Okay, well.
Downgrade. But Nightmare on My Street was already sitting at number 15 by the time the movie came out.
Oh. So they're doing better than the movies. Oh.
By far.
Oh, dear.
And New Line sues for copyright infringement. And trademark violation because it samples the Nightmare on Elm Street theme song.
This is where we come around to what kills a Victorian child. Mm-hmm.
And the video also had a Freddy Krueger lookalike.
I mean...
they weren't wrong.
They were... Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And New Line had, like, tossed out a cease and desist. And they were both like, nah, we're keeping charcoal.
Well, neither cease nor desist.
Nope. And the court side with New Line over the video because of the likeness.
Yeah, because of the Freddy Krueger lookalike.
Yeah, but they drop it over the song because the song had come out before the movie did. Mm-hmm. And they rejected the song.
I mean, that's a point. That's a good point.
Mm-hmm. Now, the video never gets officially released. And they have to put like a non-affiliation warning on the album cover. But Jeff... chronically not giving any fucks in 2018, put the video on YouTube. Because you can't sue him twice for it. Statute already, of limitations is up.
It's already been done. That's so funny.
And that is the way that we could kill a Victorian child using copyright infringement.
I like that. All right. Oh, see how that's shocking?
Yeah.
Coming around.
Absolutely.
Breaking the little child brains.
When we come back, I'm going to tell you all about arguably the most important woman we'll ever know. All right. So far, we've talked about epidemics and intellectual property. It's time to guess again.
Oh, God. Okay. So I said industry. Mm-hmm. I said, did I say the measles yet? That would be epidemics.
That would be epidemics, yes.
Did I say lack of adequate sewage systems?
Mm. Important, but no.
Okay.
A little broader.
Inequitable public education?
No.
Okay. I think I got to save my guesses for the next one.
You guessed it, feminism.
You know what you just said? The most important woman of all time.
It's like, what about the trash?
I'm like, concerned about the sewage.
Which is like, thank God, honestly, for sewage imagine? Systems, because God, it was gross back then.
Can you imagine? I mean,
they'd leave that out of the Gilded Age heavy.
I mean, they really do. Those streets is really
those streets are
dirt.
So clean.
They're such clean dirt. It's just suspicious. And I found that so gross. So I'm a person who hikes and trail runs avidly. So I'd just be doing it everywhere. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that's okay. It's a Victorian sewage situation. Anyway, feminism.
Could kill a Victorian jet.
Well.
And for this era, I bring to you Black Rain by Queen Latifah.
I love Queen Latifah.
I do too. She's born Dana Owens on March 18th, 1970 in Newark, New Jersey. And she becomes Queen Latifah like really, really young. It's like a nickname a cousin gave her.
Oh, fun. Like,
we're at where we're at. That's who we are now. She sings in the church choir growing up. She does some school plays. When her junior year of high school rolls around, she starts her own group called Ladies Fresh.
Ooh, so fun.
And her mom, like, really wants them to be able to take it seriously. So she introduces them to DJ Mark. And I wouldn't say it's, like, a bad meeting, but, like, the Ladies Fresh, like, really bonded over the experience of meeting this DJ more than, like, enjoyed working with him.
Oh, okay. Sometimes we need to be united by a common hate. You know what I mean?
But they also change their name.
To?
Flavor Unit.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Why did I think Cheetah Girls? That was like, it's like
not a much later.
I apologize about that. It was like a word association.
Yeah, it was.
That I knew it was wrong, but for some reason, it just forced its way into my brain. An intrusive thought.
Yeah, well, there's a trio.
There are women. Mm-hmm.
Well, isn't there? There's four Cheetah Girls.
Are there?
Yes. I was thinking 3LW. Two of the Cheetah Girls are 3LW.
You lost me.
The band, 3LW.
But there's
there
two
are
of
three
them?
Of them.
But there's three?
But two
of them
three are Cheetah Girls.
I see what you're saying. Two of the Cheetah Girls are two of three. There's an additional three.
Correct.
I understand what you mean.
So DJ Mark gives them a recorded demo. He ships that off to Fab Five Freddy, who is kind of like Curtis Blow's kind of era.
Okay.
They choose to sign Queen Latifah.
Okay. But not the other ones?
Right. She gets signed to Dante Ross. And she releases Wrath of My Madness, her first album. It launches, like, catastrophically all at one time her career. She's so popular. Because she's kind of not the only female voice, definitely not the first, but the most commercial.
Yeah.
It goes out to the widest audience.
And she's so awesome.
Yeah. Her first album, All Hail the Queen, sells a million copies.
That's a lot. Yeah. Many copies.
Mm-hmm. And along the way, they're like, hey, you need an image.
Yeah.
So work that out.
Oh, does she not have a great image?
She just kind of like blends.
Mm.
And they need her to stick out more. So they give her like it had to be less than maybe probably not even $500. Go figure out your image.
Okay. So what does she do?
She leans really heavy into the pro-feminism, like body positivity, Afrocentric
Yeah.
Like, if you know that, well, you don't watch Bob's Burgers.
I do. I do.
We're Jean's Queen Latifah with the...
Oh, yes!
Yeah.
Him, yes. Yeah. I know exactly. I watch Bob Burgers. I got that reference.
Yeah. Also, that's a really great example of, like, you can be a certain image for, like, a Halloween and not do blackface.
Mm-hmm.
Just want to be super clear.
Yeah. Look, think about Jane. Remember Jane.
Remember, be like Jean. She's also kind of like my first body positive image.
Because
she's not, like, she's on an episode of The Fresh Prince.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
As his love interest for an episode. And he kind of, like, pushes her off and disses her because she's not stick thin.
Yeah.
She just goes on about it.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't like that. That she's, like, good with her body.
Yeah.
And they come back together at the end.
She's like, I like who I am. I remember that episode.
Prom?
Because that was also, like, the hair and chic era, too. Mm-hmm. Like, that was, like...
Yeah.
No.
Very, very thin.
No, it was eating disorder era yeah. that all of us millennials really suffered through.
Mm-hmm. She's also on Living Single.
Mm-hmm.
Which is better than Friends. Let me be so clear. Drawing that line in the sand.
I actually have seen some of that.
It's a great show.
Better than Friends.
Yeah. And on that show, and outside of the show, she reps a lot of HBCUs. Like, she's mm-hmm. really putting on for the HBCU culture. In 1993, she released Black Rain.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a reggae, jazz-inspired kind of vibe. Mm-hmm. It's like a hard hip-hop kind of... It's what Andre 3000 could have done.
Oh.
Without the flutes.
Be like Queen Latifah.
Yeah. Okay. From that is maybe, like, the biggest song of her career is UNITY. Which is, like, the anthem.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard?
No. Sorry.
It's like a don't let a man push you around kind of.
Yes.
Kind of anthem.
Love that energy. Okay, I'm listening to it on the way home, along with that other song.
I guess her first Grammy. Woo! UNITY. And this still very, like, Afrocentric, very, like, woman positive era that she's still in. It sells 500,000 records.
Wow. That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's many records.
Which is a lot, too. It's her third album by then. So usually, like, the third albums, it's a little tricky.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to find an image. But she's already got hers nailed in. She's kind of done, I think, maybe the first rapper pivot.
Mm-hmm.
Pivot. Like, we see a lot of them do. Like, they'll do a couple albums, they'll do really well, and then they'll get into, like, producing or TV mm-hmm. or whatever.
Yeah.
She's been, like, a billion things.
Yeah.
She's, like, a prolific actress. She's a great actress.
Oh, my gosh. Last Holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so good. When she's in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, that song she sings.
She's also the first rapper to do the Super Bowl halftime.
I didn't even know that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's so crazy.
And she also, right around, I guess, like, the time that I was, like, really getting into makeup, which I wasn't wearing a lot of makeup, nor would I probably be allowed to have worn a lot of makeup.
She was a cover girl, right?
Yeah, she had her own line, specifically for darker-skinned women.
Yeah.
Which was trailblazing in itself.
Yeah, back at that time it was, for sure.
Yeah, but it's coming back. It's on its way back.
Is it?
Yeah. She's making a comeback. Don't call it a comeback. She's been here for years.
That's true. She's been here for years.
But
I mean, she's really done all the things.
Yeah, the Queen line's making a comeback. Queen Latifah's on the come up.
She's on the move.
What's that show she's on now? It's like a remake of another show, which was a movie. Mm. The Equalizer.
I don't know that.
She's also in Star, I think. I remember watching the first season of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it being obviously great.
Clearly.
Star was around another person's music career, too. So she had some, like, experience to draw from. All right, I'm going to put you back on the spot again because feminism has killed our Victorian child almost.
Okay, I haven't even thought about it. Okay, let me think about this.
Mm-hmm.
Workers' rights?
No.
Okay. Ankles?
No.
Okay. Like a thigh?
No, but I'm really glad you said diverse portfolios. Wall Street, baby. It's starting.
Ooh.
It's coming.
All right. Wall Street moving up.
For these Victorian children. And diverse portfolios. I really feel, well, they also had to live through the Great Depression.
Yeah.
But if you could hold on to a portfolio, diversifying it would be the way to go.
Okay. Diverse portfolios.
Diverse portfolios.
So not ankles.
Not ankles.
Well.
Well, I guess it depends on the business you're in.
Oh.
You know, feed finder's a real thing. Could have been ankles.
Could have been.
All right, our next album to talk about diverse portfolios. Would you like to take a guess at the artist?
Oh, my God.
You could say no.
Jessica Usher. I don't know.
No, but that would have been a good one.
Oh, okay. Yay.
Jay-Z.
Okay. Oh. I feel like I was pretty close.
You were not that far off. I have chosen the Black Album.
Okay.
By Jay-Z. He's born Sean Carter, December 4th, 1969 in Brooklyn. And he was a high school dropout. And was pretty good at the crack game.
Like doing the crack or like selling the crack?
Giving unks to others.
Okay.
Yeah. He kind of was like drumming around the house a lot. Like he's always kind of had that like lyrical kind of bebopping.
Uh-huh.
Kind of finding his style thing from a really young age. So to combat this, his mom bought him a boombox.
She's like, I said, I know what's going to fix this.
Yep. And so he used it to write his own tapes.
Oh, awesome.
And for a while he was jazzy, which like, that's not going to work. Yeah. There's already Jeff.
We got Jeff. So he went Jay-Z.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. It's not as much of a leap as Curtis Blow. Curtis Skywalker.
I love Curtis's various eras.
Jay-Z is also an homage to Jazzo. He's another artist.
Oh.
He really starts to blow up when like Big Daddy Kane is coming up. This kind of like harder, more bass intensive kind of rap sound comes about.
Mm-hmm.
He sells his CDs of his own stuff instead of crack. Maybe alongside the crack. I don't know.
I mean,
I guess I could buy one, get one.
You
Who's
know,
to say?
He was selling what he was doing.
You probably don't want to market yourself that way, you know, in the legal drug trade. Looking back on it, actually.
I could see that.
Yeah. He gets signed to Rockefeller in 1996, which he now, I think, is a majority owner.
Oh.
So.
Nice. Cheers for you, Jay-Z.
He puts out 7 albums.
That seems like a lot. That's a lot, right?
Yeah, but they're all hits. They're all bazillions of records sold. Jay-Z, much like Drake, gets into some weird beef.
Oh, who's he beefing with?
Nas and LL Cool J.
LL Cool J?
But famously does nothing.
He was Queen Latifah's.
He has survived every horror movie he's ever been in.
You know, not many Black people can say that.
No, but it's because he has a no-kill clause in his contracts. So in 2003, he releases the Black Album, and it's a lot different than his other sounds.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's very much the outlier of his career up to that point. Every song has a different producer.
Interesting.
It's also the first album to bring like the concert movie.
Oh.
You know, like Beyonce told us we are the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. He makes Fade to Black, which is about the tour.
Oh, cool.
This leads to his like crossover era.
Oh. Who did he cross over
where
with?
He's like diversifying his portfolio.
Whoa. The connection.
Yep. He works really closely with Linkin Park.
Oh, I wasn't expecting that.
And does tons of music with like rock artists from there.
Really?
There are so many. Like he takes his stuff and blends it with their stuff. It's whoever did the mix did a great job.
Interesting.
They're so good.
I wouldn't have expected any of that.
No. I remember watching that on TRL.
Don't know what that is.
It was a reality show kind of about music, like a talk show. Oh, okay. Carson Daly was there.
Okay.
It's like I was going to say 106 in Park, but
I don't know what that means.
It was music talk show focused, and then they have different performances throughout the hour.
Oh, how cool.
Like a variety show.
Oh, fun. Okay, I understand what we're talking about now.
He makes just so much money. off these collabs because he's crossing even a different audience now. They're discovering all these old albums. He's getting more plays. They're buying more records.
That's true.
Under Roc Nation, he signs really big stars. Rihanna is one of his artists.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Like, he signs these big, well, they're big now, but these up and coming numbers.
Like, he knew who was going to do
what. Yeah, under his own label. It makes him like a marketing genius.
Ooh, okay.
And because he makes all this money, he's investing it back. So he's also like, I think he's maybe a billionaire now.
Yeah.
In art.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Who knew? I didn't even know he was doing all this.
No. 4 for 4 was not great.
Is that an album?
So yeah. He's done a couple since then. Like, we thought maybe the worst album that Jay-Z was going to put out was the one he put out on 9/11.
Oh.
That's
tough.
Tough day for Jay-Z. Only Jay-Z, though.
Oh, no. Is it too soon?
No. Can't be now. Yeah, his album 4 for 4 was fine. It gave us the song The Story of OJ.
Oh.
Great song. Album. Yeah. He also was, like, the reason that he, like, really wanted Tidal to happen. And we're like, no, we already have Spotify. We're good, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Thanks, though.
Got Spotify. Spotify's got a lockdown.
Yeah. And then, luckily, Beyonce happened for him.
Oh. So. She did. Lucky for him.
Yeah, but they've, like, they're, even he did, like, the crossover with her when they did the Run the World tour.
Mm-hmm.
Huge money. Concert movie money.
Yeah, they killed it.
Everybody kind of follows him from there.
And then he got attacked in an elevator.
He deserved that.
He did. He did the comic. He had the comic. He did.
Don't do it on camera. Solange knows that.
Yeah, she learned. But he had it coming.
He did.
He's.
And then we all found about Becky with the good hair.
We did.
And then Beyonce warned him again. Mm-hmm. On this. On Cowboy Carter.
Yeah, she let him know. Jolene,
mm-hmm.
Back the fuck off.
Yep. Much like Beyonce, nobody wants that man.
We didn't.
We're good. He's been married too long.
Yeah. It's not good. I kind of felt as though this was not the point. I really love that album, Cowboy Carter. I loved it so much.
Yeah.
I've listened to it like multiple times. Because I'm getting in with pop culture now.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say, when I heard Beyonce's Jolene, just kind of made me want to listen to Dolly Parton's Jolene. That was the one.
Yeah, I can see that.
And it was the one song that I was like, this actually just makes me want to go to Dolly Parton, actually. Anyway, that's beside the point.
Can I tell you something toxic?
Oh, God. Yes, I'm ready. I support you.
I am like 2 degrees away from meeting Dolly Parton. I love her. Don't get me wrong. She's my road dog. I do anything for her. I am a stan. But there is a song that got passed around the music scene in, like, the 60s. It's called In the Ghetto.
Oh.
She did it. Elvis did it. Elvis swamps her every time. Every time I hear that song, I only want to hear the Elvis version.
I actually know that song. And I do like Elvis's version. I didn't know Dolly did a version, though.
Yeah. She also did Stairway to Heaven.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think that needs to be done by anybody else, though.
No, but I think her husband had made, like, a comment that, like, what was a heavy hitter rock song? The way she did it was mostly just, like, a song you play at somebody's funeral.
You know that's true love when you say that shit about your song, about your wife's song.
But she also just did a rock album. Remember when she got bullied into being in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Oh, I forgot about that. Oh, I love Dolly.
Yep.
Protect her. And Beyonce.
That'd be a good, you know, the way like Jay-Z did with Linkin Park, Beyonce and Dolly.
Bring it in.
Collabo.
I would love that.
Manifest it.
Go farther next time, y'all.
Yep. All right.
Oh, you're going to ask me again, aren't you?
Nope.
Okay. Thank God.
Our last topic. It's a little more global.
Okay.
Things that would kill a Victorian child.
The World Wide Web.
Adjacent.
Okay, yeah. Yes.
The African diaspora.
Okay.
Thriving. All interconnected to each other, much like the World Wide Web.
I'm just like, thank you for that. Okay. What is our last album, Jessica?
The Chief by Jadenna.
Who?
Jadenna.
Jadenno.
Jidenna.
Jidenna. Mm-hmm. Jidenna.
You know that one.
No.
Yeah, you do.
What?
I know you've heard this song.
Okay.
The I'm a classic man. You could be me if you look this clean. I'm a classic man.
Oh, I do know the song. Jidenna. You're right. You're right. You're mm-hmm. right. You're right.
Different Jidenna. Album, same artist.
Okay.
That was like his first mainstream hit.
Okay, I see.
All right, so Theodore, Jidenna Theodore Mobison. Oh, he's about to have a birthday. On May 4th, 1985.
His name should have been Skywalker.
I hope he does like a birthday party or something. Like it's got a, for the big, I don't know what his, what's he coming up on, 40?
I don't know.
I said 1985. You can't math that.
What?
Math
say it again. Say it again.
May 4th, 85.
Well, it's 2024. 39?
Yeah.
How old am I? I'm 35. I was born in the 80s. So he would be in his 30s. But slightly, yes.
Okay. Well, maybe for the big 4-0.
Maybe he'll do a Star Wars birthday.
Maybe
party.
Somebody can talk him into that.
I would really
He was supposed
that.
To come here for a concert, and then he didn't do it.
How dare he?
I think he was having some mental health situations.
Oh, well, okay. Take care of yourself, Jidenna.
But he was here for something else a couple of months before that. It's a big concert they do downtown.
Schloss? Furnace Fest?
Maybe.
They don't do that anymore. All the storms last time did them in.
He was here last summer for some kind of something towards downtown.
I'm sure. I believe you.
He's born in Wisconsin Rapids.
Oh, random.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Yeah, okay, I have to admit, I don't know where I would think that rappers come from.
It's not Wisconsin Rapids.
No, not Wisconsin Rapids. Certainly
he's born
not.
There. He spends a lot of his formative years in Nigeria with his father.
Okay.
His father is a computer science professor at the State University in Nigeria.
Uh-huh.
He's like the Steve Jobs of Nigeria.
Really. Nice.
Like, they try to undersell that. And I'm like, no, he's like incredibly intelligent.
I love that.
One time... Some folks tried to kidnap Jidenna.
Oh, no.
To get to their father.
How'd that go?
You know, his dad's like neck and neck with like tech moguls. And he's the chief of the Orsu tribe HQ. So they're like, it's a political move.
Oh, dear. How'd that go?
Well, they moved back to the U.S.
Oh, okay.
It only took once. There, because he's only not only known Nigerian culture, but it's been his primary culture for so long. He's trying to fit in where they land. And his classmate, like, kind of turns him into a stereotype of, like, an immigrant trying to fit in.
Oh, and bless.
He gets kind of bullied. Well, he gets bullied like hell, actually.
Oh, Jidenna.
Yeah, and on top of, like, facing, like, classic American racism... You're also an immigrant, even though you were born here. They only see you as the Nigerian kid. Sometimes he makes a little money off this.
Oh.
He's an entrepreneurial spirit. He finds ways and means. And he's also like his father, a gene. I don't know much about his mom. Not to say she's not a very smart lady.
Yes.
He goes to Stanford.
Okay. Nice. Making it up.
Yeah.
Doing the world.
And there he creates the group Fear and Fancy. The names are getting better. Finally.
I love it.
It was like a music and fashion group, which it kind of makes me think about the modeling troops at HBCUs. it's truly a sight to behold. We love them, but it's sometimes it's tough. They'd have to do the craziest stuff to stay in the modeling troupe.
Oh, like what?
Like, I think I watched 150 years ago when I was in college, the modeling troupe, the women in the modeling troupe having to walk in, like, heelless heels.
What? Like Barbie?
Yeah.
What?
And, which was kind of popular in fashion in 2010. It's like a really intense heel. Anyway. Okay. But they didn't have a heel.
They just had to walk on their
toes. Yeah, on their toes all day.
Okay. I mean, I guess it were. Consenting people.
Yeah.
That seems
kind of... It feels
like
unnecessary. I mean, all hazing is unnecessary, but, like, there's no...
That, yeah. My dad doesn't feel like you had to do that.
No.
But all right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean...
Fear and Fancy, though, like, there's some of that, like, you're kind of blending music and fashion, but Fear and Fancy, anybody could be a part.
Yeah.
Really, I would argue some of the modeling troops, maybe that's different now, but when I was in college, you had to be real thin and short.
Yeah. Okay. So very specific.
Yeah. Through Fear and Fancy, he meets Janelle Monáe, and in 2015, she signs him to her record label, Wonderland.
Okay.
And that's where Classic Man comes from.
Mm.
It peaks at number 22, which I think is, like, pretty good for your first record.
Yes.
On an independent label.
It's a number one. For you.
Yeah.
I mean, as objectively, like, not a number one.
Number 22, but, like, as your first record, right out the gate.
Yeah, you're doing great. Like, yeah. that's a good start out. I love
you're
that.
You're not a feature. You're the main artist.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big deal. In 2017, he puts out The Chief.
Mm-hmm.
Our album of note about the African diaspora. Doesn't, like, immediately have the same kind of success. They're kind of like, but you're a classic man. How are you going to be the chief, too?
Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah.
Many, he contains multitudes.
He does, but he leans really heavy into his Nigerian culture.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of Afro beats. He's blending political commentary with banger mixes. Of note.
Ooh.
You know that word that white people got to stop saying? Sometimes has a hard R attached to it.
Oh, God. Yes, I know what you're talking about.
He makes a song, like, kind of flipping the script.
Oh.
Like, what if this was happening to white people?
Yeah.
Long Live the Chief, which is my favorite song off the album, is, like, very African traditional music heavy.
Mm.
And then there's Bambi, which is kind of a love song. But it has kind of like I would say almost kind of like a Jamaican kind of vibe.
Oh, fun.
It's very precious. He just, well, I guess it's been like 3 years now. He put out 85 to Africa.
Mm.
And I like that, the thing about Jajin, like, when he's the classic man, he's got the, like, very distinct side part in the hair.
Mm-hmm.
He's a redhead. He's always in very well-fitted suits.
He's a classic man.
He's a classic man.
Classic.
By the time he gets to 85 to Africa, he's wearing, like, ass-tight trousers and chucks.
Really transformed.
Like, every album, he's got kind of, like, a fashion evolution.
Mm, okay.
Which seems like he kind of still falls on Fear and Fancy a little.
Yeah.
Like, a nod back to the Stanford days.
I see. Okay.
We've killed a Victorian child.
Yeah. How old did we kill a Victorian child?
We gave them an epidemic.
Epidemic?
And forced intellectual property rights upon them.
And then diverse portfolios?
And feminism.
Feminism?
And a thriving African diaspora.
We've had a journey.
We have, but as soon as we come back, I'm going to give you some honorable mentions.
Transition music.
All right, Hannah, I've given you my top five, but I feel like I wouldn't be doing the genre justice if I didn't give you some honorable mentions.
Mm-hmm. You have more homework for us.
Not in a deep dive this time.
Okay.
But I will also include these in the playlist.
Yes.
We'll put them in. So I have 10 honorable mentions for you.
Shoot them off to us.
All right. Licensed to Ill by the Beastie Boys.
The Beastie Boys.
Which famously, and I don't know that anybody's picking up on it, but when I have to give, like, work reports, I will, like, fit a lyric in. Number two is Take Care by Drake.
Okay.
Oh, am I about to start a beef? Number three is 2014 Forest Hills Drive by J. Cole. Number five is To Pimp a Butterfly by Kendrick Lamar.
Just feed the fire.
Number four is Mr. Smith by LL Cool J. Country Grammar by Nelly. The Carter Three by Lil Wayne. The USA, United State of Atlanta by the Ying Yang Twins. All Eyes on Me by Tupac. And Get Rich or Die Tryin' by 50 Cent. Is my top 15.
We have heard Jessica's top 15. Happy
51 years.
Almost 51 years of hip hop.
Happy midlife crisis years to hip hop.
So listeners, I think what we want to hear from you is if you have a favorite hip hop album.
Yeah, put me onto something new.
Please share.
My my day list hasn't been cutting it lately. So no, I'm ready to work on my algorithm.
I do feel like my day list is just recycling the various downloaded playlists I already have.
Oh, interesting. I don't have any downloaded playlists.
Oh, well, I have a lot. My cell phone plan is like pay for what you use. Mm-hmm. We'll stream a lot of music. I try to download what I want to listen to.
Yeah.
Like, especially for road trips.
Yeah.
So that's me. Is that actually just because I'm a cheapskate?
That's fair.
Should I undownload music from my playlist? I don't think I'm that invested.
No, but mine have just been having some really weird titles.
Mm.
Like Wrestling Wednesday. When have I ever WWE'd anything?
That would be wrestling. Well, I think we'll have to think about this and ponder our day list problems.
Yeah. How do we fix that? Spotify? Are you
Come
listening?
On, Spotify.
Does Apple Music do anything like that?
I don't know. I only know one person who listens to Apple Music, actually.
Probably two.
You?
No.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Or YouTube.
Not YouTube. Y'all, get it together. I don't want to hear anybody listen to YouTube. All right, well, this has been fun, Jessica of the Hate Podcast. Thanks for joining us.
All you hate, lots of hot ones. Be safe out there.
See you around.
Bye.